It's been a wonderful morning for me. I've just been caught up in a place of praise. I had this thought, is that, Lord, I want to just praise you this morning. And man, all kinds of pros and everything else just began rolling out and rolling out and rolling out. Once again, I just lost track of time. Just in the praise and admiration for who our God is. This admiration for what's already been done for me. Admiration for what's already been done for you. You know, our life may not always be perfect and things don't always turn out the way we want. But, you know, one thing that we can count on is that we have a Savior. The one thing that we count on is that we have a destiny. And that destiny is not the same as it was, because that destiny now is being filled with Christ. If that's not a reason to praise Him, then there isn't any such thing. But I guarantee you this morning, it is a reason to praise Him. It is a reason to worship Him this morning. It's a reason to enter into a relationship with Him, because relationship with Him is what it's really truly all about. I was speaking with a young lady last night, and I told her, you know, I'm not big on religion. But there is something about a relationship with Him that changes every part of your life. There's something about a relationship with Him that all of a sudden makes life worth living. There's something about a relationship with Him. Hallelujah. There's a relationship with God. See, we were created for this relationship. And everything that we do is a manifestation of that relationship. I want you to turn with me to Ephesians, because we're going to, Ephesians 6, the relationship is the thing that defines us as Christians. That relationship with Him is what defines us in our position. Hallelujah. We're talking about the power of choice and what all that power of choice can begin to bring to you. What that power of choice can begin to mean for you and how that can begin to make a difference in your life. Because see, our lives are the sum of the choices we've made thus far. And that's either an oh yay or an oh my, but you know, sometimes that's not always the best thing, but we have the option to choose to change it. When I chose to get saved, I had no idea the journey I was setting out on. I had no idea what that was going to bring and what that would begin to look like. But I can tell you that choice has begun to affect many other choices. That one choice began to affect many other destinies, not just my own. So those are the things that can happen because of the power of choice. We get relationship is birthed out of the power of choice. In here, in Ephesians 6, it says, finally, verse 10, be strong in the Lord in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, and against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. It's interesting to note that the word powers there is the word exousia. But in that word exousia, that's the power to do as you choose. The power to choose. The thing that we wrestle with as human beings is our power to choose. It's the thing that got Adam in the garden. It's the thing that got us when we stepped over and we did something we knew that we shouldn't be doing. Every one of us has made the wrong choice, but you wouldn't be here if you hadn't at least made some correct choice. The power to choose is a power that begins to change and shape the world around you. The power to choose also gives you the liberty of doing as you please. See, many of the schemes of the devil are to present you an opportunity to do as you please with something that you shouldn't be doing. That's the scheme of the devil that we're being prepared for. That's the scheme of the devil that he's come and attacked you with. As we just begin to praise him, then you begin to set light into that darkness. As you begin to have relationship with him, then you can begin to walk with him in such a way that it brings light into that darkness. As you walk with him, as it says in 1 John, as you walk with him, then you can have relationship together, and the blood of Christ will cover everything that you're doing. Because see, in that place, out of that place of relationship, you can begin to have a choice that reflects the character of Christ. We have to recognize that our ability to choose is something that's been very precious in the sight of God. He's never taken away your free will, but he'll gladly accept your surrender. He'll gladly accept that which you freely give to him. That's why our surrender is one of the precious things that we can give. Surrender is a form of worship. It's a form of praise because, see, when we surrender our will and say, Lord, you know it. When we surrender that will, then we're giving him the option to do as he would. When we surrender that will, then all of a sudden we're positioning ourselves to go into his power and his authority. No longer doing it in our own strength. There's some things that come out of this that we've talked about here last Thursday. But what I have to recognize here is that there's decision points in your life that come from your ability to choose. The decision that you made for salvation. That decision point. Probably the best decision you ever made. That decision point changed your life. But not only did it change your life, but it begins to affect every life around you. And you may say, well, Pastor, how do I make right decisions? How do I make right decisions when wrong is all around me? How do I make right decisions when the only thing I know and the only thing that's been in my past history has been pain and suffering? But the Lord has already given you provision. He's already provided for that decision. He's already provided for that choice. And if you look in Luke 10, we'll explore that for just a moment. Verse 19. I worked with a gentleman this week, and he desperately wanted to make the right decisions, but he couldn't see the way to make the right decisions. But right here is a foundation for our choice. Says verse 19, it says, behold, I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall injure you. When we read it in the King James, it says, I will have given you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. See, that first word power is exousia. The second word power is the dunamis kind of power. The dunamis kind of power is that power from which we get the word dynamite. It means an actual miracle. It means an explosion. It means those kind of things that are mighty. But he says the exousia, that power that I've given you to make a choice, is greater than the power of the enemy. It's greater than whatever the enemy has come and exploded in your face. It's greater than whatever the enemy, whatever miracle, sign, or wonder the enemy wanted to do. He said, your power to choose, your power to do as you would choose is greater than the power of the enemy against you. When we begin to understand that the power of God truly is bigger than the power of the enemy, now we can suddenly make some progress as to going where we're going. When we see that His power is greater than the power, the choice that He has given us is greater than the power of the enemy, then we understand the enemy does not have the right to hold us back anymore. He does not have the right to hold us back. And a matter of fact, exousia means that, the removing of a hindrance. The hindrance oftentimes in the choice is because we don't believe the power that we have. When we come to believe the power that we have, when we come to believe the power and the authority God has put in our heart, now we can enter into the very purpose that He put the trial there for. You know, because see, sometimes we look at all these things and our trial is just about us, but you know, oftentimes it's really not. It's what are we going to sow through it? Who are we going to touch in it? What are we going to change with it? Whatever it is that you've learned how to overcome is something God gives you authority over. When you begin to step through and overcome, then suddenly you're released to be able to help someone else overcome that same thing. God gives us the opportunity to excel in every situation. As He gives us that opportunity, He gives us the ability to go through and overcome. And as we overcome, then suddenly we can walk in authority in this area. Sometimes those things that have been our greatest attack can become the thing that's our greatest strength. Not because we can do it, but because we learn how to rest in Him to do it. His power, the authority He's given you for a choice, is the power of dominion. It's the power to stand in dominion. See, God's choice has been made evident. Now the rest of the choice is up to you. He chose you. He made that evident. He chose you. He made that evident. And now the rest of this choice is up to us, because what we do with it becomes the very foundation of our relationship. Praise His name. Praise His name. Hallelujah. Now I want to go back and just touch on some things where some of you were here for Thursday night, some of you were not, but I want to look at this within the idea. Revelations 22. Because see, our power of choice brings us something that's very, very powerful. It brings us into a place that no man has been allowed to enter for generations and generations. The power of your choice. The power of the choice begins to uncover something that was given to us in the very beginning and will be given to us also in the end. Right here, verse 14. Blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Once again, that word right there is the word exousia. That they have the ability to choose. They have the liberty to choose. King James says, instead of wash your robes, it says, those who will do His commandments. Those who will walk in the righteousness as I have described it. But those who will do His commandments, those who will wash the robes, in other words, those who will find a place of righteousness because they begin to identify with who God is. They begin to identify with what God has already portioned out for us. Those are the ones who have the right to the tree of life, because you've made a choice. Because you've made a choice and you've exercised your choice to choose to enter into the tree of life. To begin to reflect and to begin to grab a hold of this place of relationship, because the tree of life only exists in one place. It existed in the garden. So what he's saying is that I'm giving you the right to partake of that which I originally established man for. I'm giving you the right to partake of that which is in me, and that which was my perfect design for man in the very beginning. It's the power to choose to reverse the fall. To choose to partake of the garden and the river that's within it. Chapter 22, verse 1 says this, "And he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and from the Lamb. In the middle of his street," you know, you'd recognize that this water of life, the river of life, is something that flows out of the Father. And it flows through Jesus to you. I want to give you some idea of the significance because, see, a while back we taught briefly for a small season about the blessing that was in the water. LaRue taught about it. I taught about it a little bit. The blessing that's in the water. Because I wanted to explain to you there is something that happens with this blessing that's in the water. Because, see, there's not anything in creation that's not created through water. Even the very earth itself was formed in the water, because it says, what does the Bible say in Genesis 1? It says, he separated the waters of heaven from the waters of the firmament below. And then he began to separate those waters and cause land to rise up out of the waters, the land that we walk upon. There's something that happens that everything that's birthed in this earth, you yourself are birthed through water. When he begins to do something new in his people, he begins to move them through the water as he did when Israel came out of Egypt and went across the Red Sea. He begins to move them through the water. There's something that happens because, see, not even knowing last time I was going to Columbia, LaRue had said something about the blessing in the water, I think that Sunday before I left. And I was just, over that week while I was there, I was just holding this place within me, recognizing and looking to the one scripture where it says, even in the dry places, I'll be a watered garden whose waters shall not fail. And I just began to hold that place in me and let it come to life. And as I was holding it, letting it come to life after service one night, I was standing maybe 3 feet from Wilson, and I'm just holding that place, and he's just looking, waiting for me for an instruction, because that's what he likes to do. And he began to go into deliverance right there. I didn't do anything. I didn't talk to him. I can't talk to him. He speaks Spanish. I speak English. I just began to look into this place of what this blessing that was in the water, and just allow God to make it manifest in me. And as he did so, the perimeter of holiness reached out and touched Wilson in a way that changed something in him. I just looked at him, I figured out what was going on, but I had to ask Enrique to come and talk to him and find out. But there's a blessing that happens. There's a power that's released through the water. And that's the power that's being released as we begin to understand the nature of what God is doing in this part of the water. And so it says, in the middle of a street and on either side, verse 2, on either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. The healing of the nations is talking about the healing of the multitudes. The actual translation is multitudes. It's the actual healing of the peoples of God. It's the healing of the peoples of this nation and every nation that we can go and touch. Bringing them back to a relationship with Him. Bringing them from a status of being lost and not saved to bringing them into the place of healing and wholeness of heart. bringing them into place, from moving them from being broken and crushed to being full of life. The healing of the nations, the healing of the multitudes, is going to happen in the place where we allow the river to run. It's going to happen where we allow this tree of life to be the thing that we feed upon. Because as we see and work and begin to relate with the tree of life and relate with the tree and the purpose that God has in these things, then we can begin to serve something that will change their environment. We can begin to serve something that will change their physical bodies. As I began to look upon these scriptures, I just stepped into a place where I saw, lined up from that door of that church out there, a block full of people lined up just in case somebody from the church would pass by so that their shadow could heal them. It wasn't even a service day. They were just waiting for somebody to come and deal with their situation because they have a need. This world has a need of a Savior. This world has a need of people who will make a choice to stand for Christ, who will make a choice to stand and testify of His goodness and grace, to stand and testify of the fullness that they can have and achieve in Him. It's releasing to the multitudes. But let's go look at the other end of the book, at Genesis 2. Where we can understand a little more of this tree of life. Where we can understand a little more of what God is doing in us through this tree of life. What He's doing in us through the river. Genesis 2, verse 9. And out of the ground the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food. The tree of life, also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We've spoken about two sons, the Isaac and the Ishmael. We speak about two natures, the nature of the spirit and the nature of the flesh. We're speaking about choices here between the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, just by the very selection of it, becomes an issue leading into death. Verse 17 says this, from the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat of it you shall surely die. Now he wasn't talking about their physical death. He was talking about the nature of God that was within them died. There's something about when we go and start making a choice, then this choice is outside the will of God, because why? He described this as being outside the will. But He gave them the choice. Your ability to choose was so precious to Him that He would not violate Himself by taking that away from you. Because see, praise coming from somebody who has no other option but to praise doesn't carry the weight of somebody who has the power to choose. What you can give Him when you choose to praise Him, when you choose to enter into His presence, when you choose to love on Him and to cherish Him, that praise that you release is a power of your choice. It's a praise of your choice. But if He took that choice away from you, there's nothing but a robot with a program. We're not looking for a program. We're looking for a genuine article to come up out of our spirit and be released to the one and only Creator. Deuteronomy says it this way, I place before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Seems pretty simple. Seems really simple until we're looking at it on the microcosm scale and we're choosing, do I eat this cookie or not? Do I step over here and do I smoke that thing or not? Do I step over here and go with this girl or not? See, when we start looking at it now, we don't look at it as seeing we're choosing life or choosing death. We look at it as if we're choosing our own selfishness. Our power of choice has the ability to affect nations. Our power of choice has the ability to affect generations. And the power of choice that Adam made changed all of our understanding. But you know, if Adam hadn't done it, then you would have done it. So don't be blaming Adam when you get to heaven and kicking him in the shin, because he's going to kick you right back. And he's going to be exactly okay with that, okay? Because no matter how sanctified and holy we want to think we are, we would have made the same mistake. Because we've already made the same mistake. We just didn't get busted for it. All right, moving on. Choose life. Choose life. Speaking of life, life in that word, tree of life, life in that word there means kahi, or when it's used in an adjective, it means green as a vegetation. In other words, when you see a tree and it's growing, or see a plant and it's growing, it's going to be green and full of life. But it also means, when it's used as an adjective, flowing as of water. The tree of the flowing as of water. One doesn't move and the other continually, constantly moves. Life. See, when we talk in Jeremiah 2 and 13, it says where the Lord calls himself the fountain of living waters. It's the same flowing water that he's talking about. There's something that flows within us. Because see, when we look back to verse 7, if you'll go to verse 7 for just a moment, and it says, verse 7, the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. What a moment. What a moment. Don't pass it by. He breathed that breath of life into you. His lips came down and planted a kiss on you and breathed that life. Breathe the breath of life, and man became a living, a flowing with water being. A flowing with water being. Man became a living being. Man became one who flows with water. Because you know, when you're born, you are 75% water. Now, as we get older, that changes. When we get old enough to die, then it changes completely. But in the meantime, we're flowing with water. This thing of entering into the water and entering into that should be the most natural thing in the world, because this flow that comes forth is something that's already within us. All we're doing is allowing the Lord to utilize that which has been placed within us to bring and release. Remember what he said in John, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Out of your belly shall rivers of living water, because it's the nature of who you are that's being released. Because God created you to be a living being, to flow with those waters. To flow and release his purpose, his destiny, his increase into this earth. He is the fountain of living waters. And he created us in his image. So therefore, it's not surprising that if he's the fountain of living or flowing waters, that he would also create us to be fountains of living and flowing waters. He called us and created us to be a living, flowing being. And now that he brought us into the place here in the garden. And what do we see? The very first thing we see in the garden, verse 10. And now a river flowed out of Eden to water the garden. And from there divided and became four rivers. See, there's a scripture in Psalms 36 and 8. It says, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thine house, and thou shalt make them to drink of the river of thy pleasures. Do you realize that word pleasures in the drink of the river of thy pleasures is to drink of the rivers of Eden? Pleasures is, when you look at it, is Eden in Hebrew. He will make them to drink of the rivers of Eden. Out of that place, a river flowed out of God's pleasure. Out of His delight. His delight for you. His delight for this relationship that He has with you created a place of pleasure. His delight to relate to you is what was a place of His pleasure, His delight. And out of that place, there were four rivers here that are mentioned. The first river, Pison, is the river of increase. Gihon in verse 13 is the second river, and it means bursting forth. And the third river is the Tigris, which means rapid. And the fourth river, being the Euphrates, means fruitfulness. See, this is the area where civilization of man was first formed. The fruitfulness of God was released. This is the area where the whole area was called the Fertile Crescent, that these rivers began to define. The rivers of God being released in increase, bursting forth in rapid fruitfulness. Then we see in verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden. The Lord God took the man and put him into the garden. Stop right there. That means when we read earlier that He was forming man, He was forming man outside the garden. He was forming man out of the common clay. Out of the dirt outside of the garden. He took the man and He put him in the garden, and it was purely an act of His grace. Because, see, the man being made outside and being formed outside of the garden had no right to call that place home. It wasn't his home until God made it so. But that was an act of grace. An act of grace on His part to move on man's behalf, to draw him into the garden. And the only way that we're going to find that place now, because He's making it available to us, is through that same grace that He established it for us in the first place. It's His grace. It's His grace to bring you closer to Him. It's His grace to bring you into His presence. It's always His grace to establish these means and methods by which we get to know Him. His grace being revealed. And He put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it or dress it and to keep it. This is a picture of the authority we're being given. The authority we're being given to operate as a king and a priest. See, when He says to cultivate it or dress it, that word actually means to cause to serve in a Levitical priesthood. To cause to serve as a Levitical priesthood. You have to remember that when they were talking about dressing the garden, there did not exist any sweat of the brow at that point in time. It was not a matter of going out and somebody's got to go get the plow and run it through the ground. It looked very different. Their purpose was to come and stand in the place of Levitical priesthood and cause this place to begin to look like heaven. To cause this place to begin to look and to praise God and come into an adoration of our Savior, adoration of our Lord, and adoration of God Himself. Even as it said in Luke 19, where Jesus was being hailed as he entered into Jerusalem, he said, if these do not, then the very stones of the earth will cry out. Your job is to cause the earth to cry out. To cause even the very environment around us to praise Him and reflect Him. I mean, that's something He's been looking for. Even in Matthew 6, where He begins to give us the Lord's Prayer, He says, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is your Levitical priesthood being reinitiated. It's the Levitical priesthood. As we stand in the place of the garden, He's redefining our roles to no longer be one of sweat of the brow, but one of standing in the righteousness and the holiness of who He is and beginning to allow those things around us and cause those things around us to reflect that same righteousness and holiness. It was also talking about there that you're to keep the garden. And keep is basically to guard and protect, preserve, and to watch over. See, these are the things of a stewardship. These are part of the job of a king, is to steward over the kingdom that he has. To watch and protect, ultimately that is the job of the chief steward, which would be the king. To steward over these things and begin to expect the world around us to respect the Lord Himself. And to begin to call forth and release the promises of God, to call forth and release His promise in His heart into your situation, into your enterprise. Rather than the sweat of your brow, you begin to stand in the heart of God, in the promise of God, and release it into your enterprise. Well, your salesmanship is not about your inability anymore to do it, but your ability to just release the purpose of God into that situation. I've experienced this on a limited part, but there was one gentleman that I talked to. And I tried to talk to, actually. I made multiple calls to this place. I called him and I went by there physically, tried to get in to see his office, everything else. And he had a really interesting, unique name called Boaz. And so finally I just called upon him. I tried to get into his office, everything, and I never did even get to see him. Never even got a return phone call. Yeah, I just said, Lord, I'm going to commit this to you. And I just began just praying, and every once in a while I would think about it. I would just say, Lord, I just thank you for this relationship that I have with Boaz. I thank you, Father, for the business that we're doing with Boaz. And 5 months later, I'm driving down the road. 5 months later, after my last phone call, I'm driving down the road, and Boaz calls me. He says, hello, I'm Boaz. And, you know, this thing that you were talking about, you know, I would like for you to just come by here and just do it. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm having to catch up. I mean, this is 5 months later, and I'm in the middle of my life going on, and 5 months is a long time. And all of a sudden, Boaz calls me, and I said, Boaz, when did you get my message? He said, this morning, just a couple of minutes ago, I got your message. I put it in the hands of God. 5 months later, Boaz gets my message, picks it up, picks the phone call up and says, hey, whatever you want, just come do it. The guy I could not get in to see. It had nothing to do with my ability. It had God's ability to sell it. I said, Boaz, do you believe in God? And he said, yes, sir, I do. I said, well, you just hold on to your hat, bro. I left that message 5 months ago. Doing business in a different way. Doing business in the kingdom way. Doing business to serve the king, not to just serve us. Doing business to appoint the king's name over our destiny. To appoint the king's name over the places and the purposes of our life. This is what we can do when we begin to enter in to the goodness of God. We begin to enter in to this place of the garden he presents for us. You know, in Proverbs 20 and verse 8, it says, the king sends away evil with his glance. Just a glance. It's like, nope. And it's done. When a king decides against evil, evil has no place. That kingship is in you. That right to make that choice is within you. The power to make that choice is within you. That ability, the liberty to do as you please is within you to be as that king and send away evil with a glance. Not even a big thought about it. Just go. The choice is within you. I want to finish up with Revelation 22, verse 17. He says, the one who wishes can take the water of life. The one who wishes can receive the water of life. The one who has the desire in the heart to enter into God's purpose. The one who has made a choice and is going to take his liberty to make this choice can enter in and receive the water of life freely without cost. Receive the water of life and operate in the wholeness that He's given to us. God bless. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.